microfon de acoustic actif. Allô? Tu es cadet? Non, allô? Allô? It's not working. So the. Allô? But this is the. I can see that he moves when I speak. Why is this not working? Er det noe høyttaleren som må slås på noe sted? Er det det her som er høyttaleren? Nei. Hallo? 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 Den står på. Men vi kan ikke åpne. Ja, hva er låst da?
Hvis jeg prøver å slå på her da, hva skjer
slå,
da?
Skal vi se, slå det på, ja. Hallo? Ja, nå funker det. Ok, good. Det er bra å ha jenter her, de løser problemene. Takk skal du ha, Tone. Okay, so now I can continue. So this question about polarity. First of all, we use polarities typically when we want to communicate how the different causes and effects work. And that's most to communicate to communicate models, we use typically causal loop diagrams. When we start doing models that simulate using levels, then very often we don't put the polarities. But it is important that you understand how such a structure relate to a causal diagram. So we have a flow going out from level 1 into level 2. Because the flow is reducing the value of level 1, this part has negative polarity. Because the flow is increasing the level 2, the part to the right of the name of the flow has positive polarity. If we wanted to express this as a causal loop diagram, then we will do the following. I write the level 1 so without indicating the box, because I am only thinking of causal effects. And similarly I put, and then the flow is a variable that influences both levels. It may be strange for you to think the flow is going like this, so why do I put the causes going to the right and to the left? Because that's how they work. This, as a cause, is increasing this level, so it has polarity plus, and it is decreasing this level, so it's polarity minus. So don't confuse the flow, which is kind of a transport of things, with the causes. The flow is the cause of reducing this level, that's why it has minus polarity, and increasing this level, that is why it has positive polarity. Okay, but this was only because of the question that arose as to the polarities. Now I would like you to go back to the exercise here. And here, if you read this carefully, you should be able to identify three variables. Two are quite apparent, the third is a little bit hidden. Any suggestions for the audience as to how to model this? Oh, you haven't had to look at the solution already. You are not supposed to. Yes. Okay. So the idea is, let me see if I can erase this with this. The name that is very clear here is controls. So the controls have as a function to protect against risks, and in here the suggestion is that the more controls you have, the better you are protected against different security risks. And then you must ask this variable, what kind of variable is it? Suppose you freeze the time, can you count the number of controls in the organization? The answer is yes. So therefore, this is a level. Then in the next sentence here, it's telling you that the controls are becoming less and less good. Obsolete means out of phase, no longer sufficient good, and so on, because they are not maintained and proper. So what kind of process is suggested by this? Yes, but in terms of the variables that we spoke about, what do you think? What kind of variable, what kind of process are you thinking about? The controls are losing their effectivity. They are becoming obsolete. What kind of variable names do you remember, or variable types you remember? You have levels. Flows, yes. So the process of gradually becoming obsolete is some flow, which you could call control obsolescence, and they are going somewhere which you don't care about. Okay? So now we have two variables. There is a third variable here that is indicated. So consider of this process, one organization is doing their job very badly, another is a bit better. What will be the difference be in these two organizations? What kind of variable do you need to characterize the two organizations? It has to do with maintenance, but now in terms of measuring or indicating what is happening to the controls. Yes, it's okay. It's monitoring, maintenance, and so on. But now you have to think how to express that in the model. What is the consequence of good maintenance? What happens for the controls if they are properly maintained? They leave. And what happens if the maintenance is very bad, they leave? What is about the lifetime of the controls? If they are properly maintained, the lifetime is long. And if they are not properly maintained, the lifetime is short. So we need something like the lifetime. Control lifetime. Which is the time. And that's the model. So we have a process where the controls are decaying. The decay of the controls becoming less and less effective is control obsolescence. And the variable describing the maintenance, the ability of the company to maintain the controls, is the lifetime. If the lifetime is long, they are maintaining it properly. If the lifetime is short, they are neglecting security, and so on. So that is one. Okay. Now, after done this exercise, I suggest that you do exercise number two, which is very, very similar in terms of the logic, but the story is different. Now we are thinking about software vulnerabilities. When software is developed, the developers make mistakes, and the bugs in the software can be points of attack. We call them vulnerabilities. So these bugs can be exploited by hackers, and that's why we call them software vulnerabilities. Now, software is released, and you have good guys. We call them white hat hackers who are trying to identify these vulnerabilities, and when they find them, then the software is patched, and then this vulnerability, this bug disappears. Okay? So, again, think of a very simple stock and flow structure depicting this situation, and again, think of some time. Yes, by the way, we didn't say the typical time here, but as to controls, 2-3 years or so. As to the software vulnerabilities, think a little bit as to how long software is in use. It's longer than most people think. Okay, so try to create a Venzi model, which will be in the logic very similar to this. This was, I don't know if the camera is getting this. This was the solution to the first one. Okay? But I have the model for the first solution somewhere. And it is... Oh no, that was not the one. Okay. So that was the solution of the first exercise. Now, yes, I call this here control lifetime in the model's obsolescence time. The name is a bit different, but the idea is the same. Okay? Now think of the next exercise and try to find three names that again refer to three important variables. So reading this, there must be a level, there must be a flow, there must be a time here. Yeah. Yes. The question is if the model should also include the resources, the efforts of the company, and so on. And the answer is the following. The way the problem is posed, are we speaking about this or the? I mean, it's the same thing in principle, but we can take this. The way the case is posed, you don't have to think of that. But after developing such a very, very simple model and see what the model tells you, maybe you ask other questions as to how would the efforts of the company influence the control lifetime, and so on and so on. So depending on the question that you ask, you will make a model that matches that. Think of model building as a stepwise process where you first create the simplest possible model, simplifying a lot, so that you get a first insight into the problem, and then you see if the model is good enough to answer your questions. And if it does, then you stop. If it does not, then you formulate your new question and you improve the model, you add more detail. But all the time, make a model for a purpose. Here the purpose is just to get you the first cut, the introduction to a very simple issue of that controls decay over time. But yes, the efforts of the company will influence the control lifetime. So in this model, the resources of the company, that's where they have to do something. How can we influence the control lifetime? And that will be through maintenance or investments or whatever. So by having the model, you can also find out where you can act. The only way to influence the what happens to the controls is by making this loss, this obsolescence slower. And to make them slower, you have to increase the control lifetime. Another thing that you can later ask is, we are only thinking of the existing controls. What if I want to increase the number of controls? How would you do that? What, in terms of modeling, if you want to increase the number of controls, what do you do? Yes, but how? You have to put more controls here. So in terms of modeling, how would you do that? You will need a flow going in, yes. So that's the kind of thing that you have to develop, a sense of translating issues to pieces in the model. But now going down to this, so here we have somewhere a level. Which would be the level B? Yes, software vulnerabilities will be a level that will be counting how many vulnerabilities that are in the software. So in this case, we have a box that counts how many bugs there are in the software. Okay. And here you want to get rid of them. So you need a process to take them away. And what kind of process is that?
Identifying and patching?
Yes, identifying and patching. So, and that will be in terms of the model, which kind of structure is it?
A flow.
And they go somewhere, we don't care where they go, that's why we only use the cloud, and that is, say, patching. Okay? Patching. Okay? And then we need something more that tells out the speed of this patching. So that will be what? Lifetime of vulnerabilities, or yes, that's a possibility. Lifetime, but this, if we want to relate to patching, then a possibility is to put a time here, which is average patching time or something like this, which expresses also kind of a lifetime of the vulnerabilities. Okay, then we have a break here, and we continue after the break with a lecture.